At this time, I would like Nancy Willis to give her testimony of what happened to her in her home. Would you do that?
I was walking through my living room, and all of a sudden, I just started crying. And so I went back in my bedroom and sit down on the bed, and man, I just broke. And I started praying in the spirit, and then I went into intercession, and then I kept on praying and crying, and all of a sudden, I broke out in this laughter. And then it went back into praying in the spirit again, and I went back into another intercession. And then God spoke to me, and he told me, he said, daughter, I understand how you feel for the waiting, because I had to wait for my son for things to happen to him, but it eventually happened. And then I went on to pray some more and cry some more. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came into my room, and he put his arms around me, and I could feel him holding me. And he told me, he said, daughter, I'm here to carry you through your pain and your mourning. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I could actually feel Jesus wrap his arms around me and just hold on to me tightly. So I thank God for this visitation, because it's never happened to me before. And I thank God, because I know now that whatever I go through, Jesus is holding me and he is carrying me through.
Another thing that Nancy told me is she said she now knows that Jesus will never leave her nor forsake her. That's really embedded in her spirit, man, now. And I know that God wants each one of us to understand that. That he's promised, given us that promise, and he's going to keep that promise. That no matter what we go through, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. You know, another thing God was telling me after, when you, whoever was weeping, you have now come into a new place with God. And you're going to start having visitations, and you're going to see a mighty move of God wherever you go. There was a breakthrough here. Whenever you was crying out to God, there was a breakthrough in your walk with God. And yeah, some of you have been crying out to God. You do need a breakthrough. And this morning, God was here to break you out of whatever you're in, to bring you into that place that you've been crying out for. So just go ahead and let him take you to that deep place. God is truly in the room, and it's really hard to try to minister when his spirit is so strong, because I will give you the word, I believe, but what God is doing right now is he's just changing some hearts, changing some lives, taking you deeper than you've ever gone before. So just let yourself go in his arms. You know, life is not ever going to be the same. You who are sitting in here this morning, your life is being totally, completely changed right now. You've been really talking to God, and you really don't know what you want, but God knows what you want and what you need, and God is doing that to you right now. So just let him take you deeper. There are some things in your life and in your heart that God's trying to change, been trying to change, and right now he wants to change those things. you, Jesus. In the beginning of my teaching, I start out, God has taken his body deeper than we have ever gone in this pure love walk that he has been trying to get us into. So let him take you deeper into this love walk. And we have been learning that true love is what is going to change the world. That, you know, God wants us to go deeper into our love walk right now. You know, if you have that intimate relationship with God and you're in that love walk, you won't sin. You really won't, because there's just a desire to be closer to God. And as you get closer to God, there's no sin in his presence. Oh, you young kids in here this morning, you just need to surrender yourself to God right now. Really let him take you into that deep place where there is no bitterness and no wounds, but it's just you and God. You're going to find out that when you come into the house of God, it's not the same anymore. That God has said he's taken up his abode in his true houses of worship. And so God is always going to have his way. So what are you coming into the house of God for? Are you coming to sit in his presence and to have him change you? Why are you coming into the house of God? That's what you start asking yourself. God is always going to show up, and he's always going to meet your needs. He's just that kind of a God. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's moving throughout this congregation, these people's lives, changing and rearranging. We thank you, Father, that you are always in right on time and in complete control of our lives. We thank you that you are long-suffering and full of grace and mercy. And you understand us better than we understand ourselves. So, Father, right now we are thanking you that you have come into each one of our lives. And you are doing what needs to be done to change us and rearrange us and make us more like your Son, Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you are obeying the Father's voice and you are doing exactly what he's telling you to do. We thank every angel that's in this room this day that you have obeyed the Father's voice and come into this sanctuary to minister to the people. And Father God, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, that was so obedient that he went to the cross. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn to Philippians 1, verse 9. It said, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish. See that? That your love will flourish, and that you will not only love much, but well. That's not happening in the body of Christ. In marriages, you know, we see a lot of faces being put on in marriages, but it's not the truth, what's really going on behind the scenes. So Paul says, so this is my prayer, that your love will flourish and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of. And you know, God said, told me when he told me to teach on love again, that his body has not yet learned to love. That's why you see so many marriages on the brink. That's why you see children in households that are all messed up because the husband and wife don't love each other as they ought, and therefore their animosities seep down into their children. And God's trying to get the families together, but the enemy's trying to tear families apart. And we're going to have to learn to live with each other's little quirks. And we're going to have to truly learn to love like God wants us to love. You're not going to get to heaven if you don't love, just plain and simple. Isn't that what God said? The first thing he's going to ask you is, did you learn to love? If you didn't learn to love, you don't have any place in heaven. You know, you get married, and then you get remarried, then you get remarried, and you're never going to really stay married until you learn what true love. Do you want to put that young lady up in the nursery? You can. Upstairs. Will somebody take the baby to the nursery? Here, the young lady. Here, Allison will take her, Catherine. Thank you, Jesus. God has been trying to get us to learn to love extravagantly. This scripture is a critical exhortation. Why? It means that there are inappropriate ways to love. There are deceptions that feel right, but are poor representations or even counterfeits of truth. I can tell if you're really, when I get around you, I can tell if your marriage is really what you're portraying it to be or if it's not. Yet, you know, if you're walking in the Spirit, you feel all those things. And so I get around people who are trying to be godly and they're really not because they haven't learned how to love. They're still so self-centered. But what about me? What about me? What about me? You know? And that's not love. That really is not love. And you know, Jesus, he's full of grace, isn't he? Why are you not full of grace to your husband, your wife, or your children? You know, we have to show grace and compassion because that's part of love. And people don't understand that. All right, as we begin to dig deep into God's love, we have to be aware that the enemy will work hard to redefine, misrepresent, and twist true love. You know, one thing that really bothers me, men and women both do this. Do you know how long it's been since I've had sex with my wife or my husband? I hear that all the time. What's your marriage about? Is it about love or about sex? When you have a spouse that's sick, you know, I was listening to that Refiners that we do, and you know, there's just times that neither one's going to want sex. I don't care if it's 10 years. it's just the way it is. So why? And I knew a couple like this, and the wife didn't want any part of sex, but yet she, you know, loved her husband and everything. He loved her. He doted on her. He said, "I didn't marry her for sex. I married her because I loved her." And if your mind is always stayed on sex, then you have a lustful spirit, and you need to get rid of it. That destroys a lot of marriages. I heard somebody once said to me, "Well, if you can't take care of your husband, I will." Now that's twisted. Amen. All right, the enemy is so terrified of pure love being revealed that he is willing to promote and endorse a compromised, lesser version of it. You have sex with me 24/7, boy, I love you to pieces. You tell me you don't want to have sex, I don't love you or nothing. I'm not against sex, I'm just teaching you something. Love defined by human emotion instead of the word is his plan. All right, the enemy. We're talking about the enemy. Love defined by human emotion instead of the word in God's word is a devil's plan. All right? Just like a baseball game, when you run the bases, you must always hit first base first, right? You might be asking, "What?" And I've got you all upset. I know I can feel it in the atmosphere. Too bad. You opted to come in here this morning, so you have to hear what God's saying. All right, you might be asking, what is first base? In the Word, it is what Jesus called the first and greatest commandment. So then love is the foundation. Matthew 22:36, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, if you pass that test, you'll be able to do this next one. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbor as yourself. This is where a lot of people fail because they can't even love their self. So how are you going to love your neighbor? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Right here, Jesus identifies first base. For every believer, the law of love, love of God, and love of others. This is your first base. If you don't learn love, you can't go to second base. That's why some of you are stuck on second or third base because you haven't learned first base things yet. That is why in Romans 13, 9 and 10, Paul tells us, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You know, you can commit adultery with your eyes. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. How many of you know men who say, I really do love my wife, say, boy, doesn't that woman have a nice hiney on her? If you love your wife, why are you looking at somebody else's hiney? I'm going to use different words, but right? Isn't that right? Or, okay, women, some of you say, boy, I love my husband. Look at that sexy man. Isn't he sexy? I like to get him in bed. You hear all this kind of stuff. This is not love. This is perversion that has invaded the land. If you really love your spouse, then you won't be looking at other things. You won't be looking at pornography either, right? Your eyes will be concentrated on your wife. You wonder why your wife doesn't, you know, go to bed with you. It just might be that you're not treating her right. Well, I help her cook. I help her do the dishes. I scrub the floor. What else does she want? That is not love. Those are just little tasks that you opted to help her do. All right, love is the fulfillment of the law. Over in 1 John 2:10, we also learn that pursuing love is the key to walking in the light and life of God. 1 John 2:10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who loves his brother, you know, that's any, you know, anybody around you, abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Notice that walking in love keeps you from having any occasion of stumbling. Far too many people in the body of Christ are stumbling around in darkness simply because they are connected to darkness through fear and disobedience to the love command. Fear is a connector. The sad fact is many of God's people operate in fear and even raise their children under the dominant influence of the law of fear. You young girls, you just really upset me. 16 years old, wanting to get married, wanting a boyfriend, carrying on like a fool, and you don't even know Christ. What are you going to do with a man? What are you going to let him do to you? Are you understanding this? You have to just quit all the stuff about wanting to lay in bed with somebody, and you just have to really get yourself engrafted in God and learn what love is truly about. Then God will send you a mate, and he'll send you a mate that you're supposed to have, not one you think you have to have. It's better if God excuse me, it's better if God picks your mate than if you pick him. All right. All right, fear is a connector. It connects people to negative results and outcomes. The Holy Spirit spoke one time and said the fear of death connects you to the death you fear. The fear of death connects you to the death you fear. In his word, God, who is love, has given us the key to breaking free of the slavery of the law of fear. You know, I've never feared anything in my life, but the other night I was so full of fear because my heart was really acting up. And I knew if I didn't pray, I was in a dire strait. And fear came upon me, and I had to fight fear so I could then get into faith. So then my heart started straightening out. But I've told Teresa I've never had fear in my life, but it consumed me. And now I understand why God's always talking about fear. Because if you're walking in fear, it just totally wipes your life out. And you know, I had to fight to get through that, you know, in order to really get my heart to straighten out then. But I won the battle of fear, and then my heart straightened out, and then I was all right. All right, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, and inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that they were talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus broke that fear. We shouldn't be walking in fear. And if fear tries to overtake you like it did me, you're going to have to fight that. Don't be praying about your health. You have to get rid of that fear. And after you get rid of the fear, then God comes with his healing powers. But as long as you're walking in that fear, you're not going to win. I would strongly suggest that you study and meditate on this scripture in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Notice it is fear that made you subject to bondage. Fear of death or the fear of loss. Fear is a spiritual connector. Fear will keep you out of the love walk. Well, I don't know if I want to give my heart to him or not, because after all, you know, him or her, after all, they'll hurt me like somebody else did. That's fear. And you can't walk in that. You have to forget what happened in the past, and you have to walk in the present. All right. I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm homosexual, I'm lesbian, because after all, you know, a man hurt me, so I'm going to go to a woman who knows how to satisfy me. Get out of here. That's not true. Same way with the man. Well, women are so ignorant, so I'll just get another man. We understand each other. This is ridiculous. This is not love. This is walking in all kind of junk, perversion, and your misunderstanding. And the world pushes that, don't they? And this is not godly. There's no love in that. It's self-satisfaction. All right, fear connects you. Is that right, Matt? Fear connects you to things, and so does love. Stir up your pure mind. Your pure mind, not your perverted mind. We have all heard about love. We have knowledge of this principle, so it's not the knowing about it that is a problem. The problem is that we are not stirred up in our minds about what we really know. When Satan comes at you with, you know, reasons why you shouldn't love your husband or your wife, just tell him to get lost. Quote some scriptures about love. All right, you're supposed to love your wife as Christ loves the church. You guys don't do that. I mean, you know, Christ didn't have all these excuses why he shouldn't love us, did he? He just loved us because he is love. 2 Peter 3:1, Peter wrote, "Beloved, I now write unto you to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Think about what it means for us to stir up our pure minds, until we not only know something, but we also purpose to keep it before us until we remember it all the time. When you stood before a minister, you said, "I'm going to love you till you're through thick and thin," or however that goes. Well, by George, 1 month later, thick and thin is gone. And you forgot you even made that dear promise to love them. I really don't like to do weddings. People don't get married for the right reason. And, you know, they don't have their mind stayed on Christ. And they keep breaking up. And I just don't like to do that, because when you stand before, I don't like to do weddings, because when you stand before God, you're making a covenant to God first, and then to the person you're marrying. And the covenants are being broken all over the place, and God does not like a covenant breaker. You should have learned all about that person before you ever asked them to marry you. And if you did know all about them and you asked them to marry them, then it's on you. Whatever you go through, it's on you, right? I don't know why I'm on that subject, but just go ahead and glean whatever you want to glean from it. For most of us, the spiritual law of love may be in our minds. It is just not on our minds very much. It sure hasn't been on the mind of the church to any great degree, has it? We have had ourselves on our minds instead. And when you have nothing but yourself on your mind, you are headed for disaster. And that is why we have to stir ourselves up where love is concerned. I'm going to read that again. For most of us, the spiritual law of love may be in our minds. It is just not on our minds very much. In other words, you don't think about it. It's in there somewhere with all the other junk you have in there. But you need to start pulling it out and really think about it. It sure hasn't been on the mind of the church to any great degree. We have had ourselves on our minds instead. And when you have nothing but yourself on your mind, you are headed for disaster. And that is why we have to stir ourselves up where love is concerned. So no matter what you have had on your mind lately, the challenge set before you is to stir up the pure part of your mind. Let's do that. Instead of the junk you keep thinking about, there's pure stuff in your mind too. Get the junk out of the way and pull that pure stuff up and think on those things. That's what Paul tells us, right? Remember how Paul said to Timothy, we're going to read it, in 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift of God which is in you. In a similar way, we need to make sure we are stirred up about love, the love of God, our love for God, and our love for the people he gave his son to redeem. The body of Christ does not love their brother. We sit here in this room and we sing all these praises to God and we act so spiritual, but we don't love our brother that's sitting two seats away from us. This is not God. The only way you get in unity is everybody comes into the house of God with love on their mind and unity there, and then the Spirit just has so much freedom to just start moving. This is what's happening in the homes. There's no love there, and therefore there's no unity, so there's strife upon strife upon strife, right? And everybody's judging everybody else. And I'm sort of tired of that. We need to look inside and see your sin is just as bad as the next person's sin. There's no little sin and no big sin. Sin is sin. And God has told us, quit judging and get into unity. Pray for one another, right? All right. This is first base. It is the bottom line for every believer, learning how to love. A failure to understand this is why we haven't operated in the degree of power and victory Jesus purchased for us. It is why we haven't seen the law of abundance working fully and freely in the body of Christ. Yes, we have seen some results here and there, but the reality is that too many of God's people are dying, too many are sick, too many are broken in debt, too many families are falling apart. That's the whole gamut, right? It's time to change all that. Let's look again at what Peter wrote, but I'm going to stop there for a second. God has been telling us for, I know, a good year, maybe two, that until we learn the love walk, he cannot drop the glory upon us, because the glory would kill us. Now, everybody wants to get out there and hit with great signs, wonders, following them. But who are you dealing with? Are you really close to God? Have you learned how to love? Or are you allowing the enemy, because the enemy can use you with great signs, wonders, and miracles? Think about that. Who is really operating through you? And if you are not walking in a love walk and you're out there trying to tell somebody else how to live their life, or if you're out there praying for other people, you're going to be held accountable for their blood. Yeah, I don't like to watch people try to tell somebody else how to live when they don't live their walk the walk they should with God. I don't like that. And God doesn't either. He said, if you're going to teach it, then you live it. You live it. All right? Come on. And God's been trying to get this church to live it. Not just speak of it, to live it, eat it, and breathe it. And 2 Peter 3:1-2 said, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles, and the Lord and Savior. This is what we have to do. We must touch first base by total commitment to obeying the command of love. Boy, the enemy does not want this to go forth. He's a fighting in here like crazy. The atmosphere is heavy through of you don't quite want to hear what you're hearing. You're going to hear it anyhow. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit, if you don't want to hear it here, to just let you hear it all day long. Amen. Let a rerun be going on in your mind. I don't care how much you try to push it away, it won't go away. The atmosphere is heavy right now, and it shouldn't be. All right. Faith hangs on the law of love. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith worketh through love. That's why you don't have faith. You don't have love. You don't love God. If you love God, you'd have faith in Him, and you would trust Him in all things. You know, I wrote a letter, and I haven't mailed it yet. The reason why I haven't mailed it, because I don't feel comfortable with that. And God said, the reason why you don't feel comfortable, He told me that as I was leaving the house today, is because you haven't brought the letter to me. What you wrote is okay in the letter, but you haven't brought it to me. In other words, should I really send it? Are you understanding that? So I have to go home and pray over the letter to see if I really should mail. Everything in it's the truth. But I really feel like right now this is what come up my spirit at home, when God has taught me that if the person receives that letter, they're already down. It'll take them too far down. That truth can be told later on. I know that's what it's all about. So I'll just say it. You know, they're in discouragement and depressed, and that letter would be the final touch to make them go overboard. You understand what I'm saying? Some things, it's the truth, you just keep to yourself and allow God to take care of things. All right, so I said, we've talked about faith hangs on the law of love. This explains why so many people who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. Think about that. If you don't have faith, if you don't have love, then your faith is no good, and you're not going to receive the miracles that you're asking God for. Amen. All right, using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. Example, a car is all gassed up, everything in running condition, but it won't move when you push on the gas. Why? You must put it in gear to have it run. Same way the car works. Faith is present in your spirit, but without love, your faith is not engaged. Faith works by love. That is why unforgiveness causes faith to seem feeble and ineffective. That is why unforgiveness causes faith to seem... And how many in the body of Christ walks in unforgiveness? You just keep talking about what they do over and over and over again. You know, and I know with myself, I've said to God, I really forgive them. I said, I went to the person, asked them to forgive me. But the enemy tries to rerun that thing in my mind. He replays it and replays it. And I have to keep rebuking that thought, because if I don't, it's going to come a reality again and bind me up. And, you know, that'll happen when somebody does something really bad to you. It really hurts you really deep. And, you know, you really do want to forgive them, and you have spoken the words in faith, but yet the enemy replays that thing. Because he knows if he can keep replaying it and get you caught back in that thing, you have no faith, right? You know, I was thinking about this about 3 o'clock this morning. I thought, God, if the body of Christ would quit looking at herself and read your word, really read your word and see how everybody suffered that followed you, we would have a better church. People would be stronger. I mean, your life does go on. Like God told me, life goes on. Just because you said, God, I want to be yours, it didn't mean that life stopped and I was put in a bubble, never to be heard again. In fact, just the opposite happens. The devil attacks, and then you go through hell like you never have gone on through before. Jesus suffered. All the disciples suffered. Read your word. From beginning to end, everybody that's walking with God suffered. Look what's going on in the world. Look what's going on overseas to Christians. It's awful. You know, and Johnny told me this morning that there's a prison overseas somewhere on fire, and there's Americans in there, and their prisoners are running loose and shooting all over the place. And you know, I was thinking when he was telling me that, I hope those Americans know Jesus and are really trusting God right now, you know. And we just need to really be praying about that, you know, because that's a horrible, the jails are horrible anyhow for Americans. And then to go through all this, it's a trying time. And see, if they don't have their faith built up, will they make it through the trying time? Every one of us are going to go through hard times. We just are. And this is why God keeps telling us, build up your most holy faith. And he's been telling us, build up your faith, build up your faith. Why? Because he knows the trials and tribulations you're going to go through. And if you don't have your faith built up in God, you're not going to make it through. Are you all understanding that? Trials and tribulations are everywhere, but God is able. And if God wants you to go through something, thank him that he knows you're strong enough to go through it. Remember, God said we were all going through the Job experience, and God didn't heal Job until the right time. And Job, and Job was a righteous man in all of his ways, and God said the church was going through a Job experience. So there you go. Are you going to be like Job and just keep trusting God? Or are you going to give up on God just because you're not seeing the results you want to see? You have to make sure you tell people that too. But it has to be, you can't tell that unless it's strong in your heart. If it's strong in your heart, then you can speak it forth knowing that you know that God can deal with anything. And he has your life all booked down. Now, we can understand why Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hang upon a single two-part commandment, to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor while you're at it. You, your neighbor could be your brother living in the same house, you know, or your wife or your sister. That's your neighbor, all right? Faith is... Faith is saying, I just know this, some of you are really deep thinking right now, and that's good, that's good. Because we don't want you to go to hell just because you couldn't love one person. Because it says we have to love the unlovable. Who's he bringing into the house of God? Unlovable people. People have been out there in the street, they've killed people, they've done all kind of stuff, and they're dirty, they stink. Those are unlovable people. That's who God's setting in the house of God. And those are the ones we're supposed to love. But if we haven't gotten that love down in us, we're not going to be able to do what God's asking us to do. All right, faith is hanging on that love commandment because faith is released and functions under the law of faith. The law of faith hangs or is totally dependent on the law of love. Faith does work, but not without love. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the preparation of the gospel of peace, every weapon and spiritual asset at your disposal all hang on that first and greatest commandment, which is love. How many of you, something happens, somebody hurts you, and you're ready to throw them under the bus, and God says, remember from whence you came. Remember what you were doing when I picked you up. We so easily forget that, don't we? Or you have a drug addict in your life. You used to be a drug addict. But now you're not. Now you're judging, and you might have been an alcoholic, you know, but you're judging those who aren't where you're at, but you were there one day. And God, in all of his mercy, showed up and set you free, right? Love, that is the first base. It is your foundation for success and victory. Don't skip over it. In the world, from day one, fathers abused their children. They beat them. They sexually abused them. They did all manner of evil to them. Guys, you guys that went through all that pain from a parent, you're not the first one, and you won't be the last one, sorry to say. But don't hold on to it. Release it. Release it. And move on. Because as long as you hold on to that, you're giving that father or that mother, mothers do the same thing. You're giving them glory. You're not giving any glory to God. I was saying to somebody the other day, that, you know, when I was 10 years old, I was thrown out of the house and on the street with five other brothers and sisters. So I was homeless at 10 years old. And I really have a hard time with somebody that's homeless. And I've taken people into my home because of that. Because God gave me a home when I was homeless. And so I tried to help other homeless people. But I found out I had to be more discreet about it. I've taken people into my home that has destroyed my home. They didn't care. But still in all, I don't like to see somebody on the street. It's just that's embedded in me because I was there. All right, so if you were an alcoholic or a drug addict and God set you free, then in your heart, you should want to see somebody else set free because you know what it's like to be on that road of destruction. And so your job, what you want to, not your job, but what you want to do then is show them the same compassion that Christ showed you. How are you going to win that world out there to Christ if you don't have love and compassion for them? And you know what God has showed me? Always look beneath the surface. Go to him and find out why a person's doing what they're doing. Instead of you judging them by face value, go beyond that and see what's going on in a person's life. And this is what God does to me. If a person is just totally never going to change, God will put a dislike in my heart for that person. He really does. He puts up a wall, and I have no desire to help that person any longer. No matter how much I want to, that wall won't let me do it. That wall comes from God. He's not going to let you be deceived forever. All right? And then you have to walk in the truth then of what God's showing you. You did your part. You showed the love, the compassion, the mercy, the grace. You poured that love on them, but if they reject all that, God told me, well, you have to shake your dust off your feet and walk on because they don't want the love of God. All right. But there's some of you sitting in here tonight, this one is really hurt and really deep. And it's because of past wounds that you've received. And God just wants to free you up of that this morning because God is dropping his glory. That was his glory he dropped in here at the beginning of the service. But he needed this teaching of love to go forth. Some people thought, well, she shouldn't even have did that. Yes, I did. I had to do that. Because if you don't get this love down inside of you, you're no good for God or anybody else, not even your own self. And many of you could be like me. There was a point in your life you didn't even love your own self. I wouldn't even look in the mirror because I hated myself so bad. And it was just because somebody kept telling me I was unlovable and I was ugly, you know, and I believed that. Then I got to the point where I didn't like myself. And God, when I got born again, God freed me up of that. And so, you know, some of you might be going through that. I don't know. But that's not the truth. This last song told you that's not the truth. You know who you are because Christ called you and you are his precious vessel that he wants to work through. So the altar's open this morning if you want to come up and just let God go ahead and minister to those deep wounds. Here in God's here, there's curses on your life, and he's going to break those curses off of your life. And you, no matter what you do, you just can't find happiness. Well, after God's finished with you this morning, you will be able to, because he's going to shed his love all over you and set you free. So the altar's open.